The following program is a production of Chilling Entertainment and the creative team at Chilling Tales for Dark Nights, and a proud member of the Simply Scary Podcast Network. Visit simplyscarypodcast.com to learn more about this and our other weekly storytelling programs, and become a patron today to show your support and get instant access to our extensive archive of downloadable ad-free tales of terror. Thank you for listening. And enjoy the show.
Disclaimer. Horror Hill is a horror anthology podcast bringing you scary stories from all corners of the internet and beyond. As such, certain stories include content that some listeners might find offensive. Listener discretion is advised. Well, hello there, listeners. You've just wandered back to Horror Hill, and I'm your host, Eric Peabody. Tonight, we're featuring a story by Horror Hill mainstay Lucretia Vastea with the unlikely title, Growlurple. Lucas, Newt to his friends, is a young teenager with a mildly frustrating problem. He's the smartest person in his family. Both his parents and his sister Daphne look to him as the voice of reason. Luckily, Newt has similarly intelligent and nerdy companionship in his friends, Skittles and Vamp. In fact, they're so nerdy that they've been going nuts over a pair of special glasses from a science magazine that are supposed to allow you to see beyond the normal visible spectrum. This is a good thing, because Daphne has recently gone missing. And these special glasses might hold the key to finding her. Also, I'd like to welcome voice actress Michelle Kane back to the show. She'll be voicing a couple of roles in tonight's story. You're listening to the standard edition of this program. If you'd like to help support Horror Hill and also remove these pesky ads, head to chillingtalesfordarknights.com and click Patrons in the upper menu to sign up today. You'll get instant access to hundreds of ad-free stories, and we can scale back some of our less savory means of generating money for the show. By the way, you wouldn't happen to still have all of your organs, would you? And now, from author Lucretia Vastea, I give you Growlurple.
Daphne's not back yet.
One sheep, two sheep, three sheep, four. There's stupid chatter at my door. Have you tried calling her?
Of course I have, Jared. I keep calling her since nine.
That's a lie, Dad. Knowing Mom, the first call was probably around 8:30. Five sheep, six sheep, seven sheep, eight. Go to sleep or go irate. Dad sighs. I know his sighs. This one is loaded with opinions he'd rather not voice. He doesn't think Daphne not being home by nine is as catastrophic as his wife does, but 17 years of marriage taught him to play along, for the most part. It's funny how parents think they know their kids inside and out. They're particularly funny when they act as if they leapt into adulthood straight out of infancy. When you're a creature of the raging hormone variety, aka a teen, Your raison d'être is chained to the slot you occupy in the school hierarchy. At the top, you have your popular kids. Then there are the mediocre bunch, then the unpopular bunch, and at the foot of the pyramid, the acutely invisible. My 15-year-old sister jumped from acutely invisible to popular in a matter of weeks, and she's been invited to her first party ever. Connect the dots, mother.
I keep getting her voicemail. Daphne always answers when I call.
Maybe she set it on airplane mode.
Daphne never does that.
Oh, yes, she does. Unbeknownst to our parents, Daphne has a boyfriend. Derek, captain of the baseball team. If Daphne's not on her phone, it's because Derek is keeping her busy. Dad sighs again. Sam. Tell her, Dad. She's at a party. She's never been invited to one of these things before, and it's a big deal to kids her age. Let her live a little. Our daughter's smart. You need to learn to trust her. Besides, what's the worst that can happen? The party's not even 5 miles away. And no offense, honey, but the curfew you set is a little ridiculous. Mother doesn't respond. I close my eyes and give sleep another try.
Did she say who was going to be there?
Another trial, another error. She went with Mandy and Bianca.
I know that, Jared. I mean, who else is going to be there? Classmates? Upperclassmen?
Mom gasps as if someone kicked her in the ribs.
Did Bianca say her brother is going to be there? Bianca's brother is in college, Jared. College kids don't show up to high school parties alone. Oh, God.
You think too much.
Or not enough. Why isn't she answering me? If she wanted to stay longer, she should have texted.
Yeah, like that would work on you.
What's that supposed to mean?
Jesus Christ, Sam, she's a teenager. Just... Cue Dad's exasperated search for words on the hallway ceiling. Let her be a teenager.
Lucas is a teenager too, and he never makes us worry like this.
Dad chuckles. That's it. I get up. Yes, well, Lucas is different.
He's a 13-year-old boy, Jared. How different can he be?
I yank my bedroom door open. I like soccer, video games, and have 3 issues of Playboy stashed under my mattress. Mom and Dad look dumbfounded. Don't know if these things make me a normal 13-year-old boy, but in case they don't, feel free to talk to me about it tomorrow. My parents exchange a look. Sorry, bud. Did we wake you? One needs to be asleep to be awakened, Dad.
Lucas, honey, we're sorry.
Mom offers.
We'll continue our chat in the living room.
Dad looks annoyed. We will. Why?
Jared!
I retreat into my room, grab my phone, select, and scroll. Back in the doorway, I show my parents the screen. This was taken 10 minutes ago. Mom and Dad get an eyeful of Bianca's latest Instagram post. Look at the picture closely. In the picture, Bianca, the birthday girl, is being sandwiched between Mandy and my older sister. Bianca has her arms wrapped around Daphne and Mandy while they're kissing her cheeks. The caption says, hashtag besties forever, and hashtag who needs boys. The girls look like they're having fun. See the man on the left in the background? My parents notice him. That's Bianca's dad. Both her parents are supervising the party. Didn't Daphne tell you? Mom and Dad exchange another look. She's safe. Learn to give her room to breathe, Mom. Daphne's not a baby anymore. And if she's about to make mistakes, let her. How else is she going to learn how to navigate life? Mom freezes. Dad purses his lips and looks down, a dead giveaway that he agrees. Now that we're reassured that Daphne's going to be okay, I'm off to bed. I advise you to do the same. The tension dissipates. Dad looks like he's trying to hug a human-sized porcupine when he puts his arm around his wife. Good night, buddy. Sorry for the ruckus. I nod and reach for the door. By the way, Dad remembers before I close the door. You got a package today. I left it on the kitchen counter. Small brown envelope. Did you get it? Crap, 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 crap. Yes. What did you order? Mom and Dad trust me. I'm the voice of reason in this family. A straight-A student who seldom asks for anything, so whenever I do ask for stuff, they tend to deliver. 2 birthdays in a row, I asked for one thing. Financial privacy, albeit within the bounds of my allowance. This year, I got my wish. My bank account is under Dad's name. He takes care of the monthly fee, but other than that, the card, the passwords, PINs, TANs, and banking statements are entrusted to nobody else but me. Dad wants to know what I ordered. Think fast. Fishing hooks for Uncle Ned. Dad chuckles. The envelope stuck to the toaster. Are those hooks magnetic? They're magnetic, right? I say nothing. Huh. Interesting. You and Ned have to tune me in on some fishing tips sometime. I never catch anything. Can't refute that, but I don't want to hurt his feelings. Dad likes to fish, the same way Mom likes to hear she doesn't look fat in that dress. Any dress. I laugh a little and shrug. Mom is too lost in thought to say anything. Dad wishes me a good night and mouths an inaudible, "Thank you," as he guides his wife to the master bedroom. Once I'm back in bed and reconnect my phone to its charger, Bianca's post lights up my screen again. My sister is a natural blonde. Blue eyes, long legs, tan skin, the works. Daphne left the house wearing a black spaghetti-strapped summer dress peppered with pink and red roses. She wears the least amount of makeup out of all of her friends, and, quite frankly, she wouldn't need any at all. No amount of makeup or accessories could make Daphne more beautiful than she already is. Not the blush, nor the red lips, ruby earrings, or the silver firefly glinting from between her clavicles. Hashtag who needs boys. My sister does, the hypocrite, because in the corner adjacent to the host's dad, nursing a beer and looking straight at Daphne, is Derek. And Derek doesn't look like he's having fun. My room's getting chilly. I should probably close the window. I kick the tree. Nothing happens. Vamp and Skittles are already up there. I could hear them bickering from 50 feet away. Hey! The rope ladder drops and I give it a hard tug. Usually, it takes me a total of 1 minute and 12 seconds to reach the treehouse. 50 seconds if Vamp lends me a hand on the last 2 steps. No such luck today. He's so engrossed in his argument with Skittles that I have to wonder who even dropped the ladder for me. Maybe my kicks are not as weak as I thought. My friends sit cross-legged facing each other. Ever since we built the treehouse, I drilled the importance of proper weight distribution in their heads, and I'm happy to see Vamp and Skittles abide by it. Skittles is short and of a slight build, so he sits by the bookshelf. Vamp is tall and somewhat athletic, so he sits by the beanbags. I have no clue why we even bought those things. We always sit on the floor. Good thing Skittles' mom lets us borrow her garden chair cushions. The spot by the window is mine, because it's bare, and I'm fat. I recall saying it aloud. The reaction I caused makes me laugh to this day. Not just Dad, but my friends also jumped in to refute the obvious, to protect sensibilities I don't have. Their intervention was both endearing and silly. Gravity doesn't care about my feelings. Whether it's a matter of aesthetics or medical stats, I'm fat. It's my favorite kind of word. Raw, blunt, monosyllabic. Summoning it via a less punching synonym doesn't make it less true. However, now that my interest in girls is blooming, I plan on starting to lose weight once I turn 14. From then on, I'll have the rest of my life to watch my figure. But right now, healthy or not, my nourishment of choice is more important to me than female attention. I'll take care of my appearance when those priorities change. On the floor between Vamp and Skittles lies an open magazine. Skittles points to different spots on the printed paper and reads stuff aloud like it's the sole proof of whatever point he's trying to make. Skittles is a tenth of an octave away from shouting. Vamp rebuffs everything with his normal voice. That being said, Vamp's normal voice is like the horn on an 18-wheeler. "What are you guys fighting about this time?" Vamp turns to me. There's something on his face. "We're not fighting," he says. Skittles might beg to differ. He's panting and is beet red from hairline to neck. "You look like a bug," I tell Vamp. Vamp lets out an, "Oh," and removes the weird glasses. He hands them over to Skittles, who still looks angry, but this time it's with me. "He does not look like a bug." All three of us have bad eyesight. Vamp and I wear contacts, but Skittles wears glasses out of some weird misplaced principle. He's very touchy about them too, not just his own either. Skittles sees glasses the same way pedestrians see empty phone booths during a downpour. I once told him my great aunt's glasses looked like recycled mason jars, and Skittles didn't speak to me for a week. "What are those?" I step over the open magazine and take my usual seat. My friends adjust their own seating. We create a perfect triangle in the center of our nerd heaven. "They came with the latest issue of World's Strangest." Skittles holds the glasses in his palms like they're a baby chick that just hatched out of its egg. "It's been discovered that mantis shrimp have 12 types of color cones in their photoreceptors." "Wow," I think aloud. 300% more than us." "Exactly." Vamp scoffs and challenges Skittles. From the looks of things, they've been going at it for some time now. "What's the point? 3 color cones are enough. Think about it. Is there any color we humans can't see?" "Ultraviolet, for one, and infrared," I offer. "Yeah, but those aren't colors, says Vamp. Skittles and I look at him and then at each other. "Wait, are they?" I bite my tongue and let Skittles resume his tirade. "You don't get it. How can we know if there are colors we can't see if our species has never seen them? You can't talk to another species about their chromatic perceptions, can you?"
"You don't have to talk to a dog to know it can't see red."
"That is so besides the point."
"How is that besides the point? Give a dog your glasses and it still won't see red."
That shuts Skittles up. His shoulders deflate. Skittles has been fascinated with colors ever since he was little. His favorite one is brown because it's, and I quote, "the most versatile one." Skittles likes to paint, and not once have I seen a paintbrush in his room. All he goes to town with is canvas, color tubes, rags, hands, and a shit ton of soap to get the stains out of the carpet before his mother gets home. It's not his fixation with colors that got him the nickname, though. Skittles' mom is a dentist, one who thinks her family's smiles are the only business card she'll ever need. Although my friend never had crooked teeth, his mother saw them as rows of gravel. The lady nagged Skittles about braces for half a year until he finally gave in. With him, braces were happening under 2 strict conditions. 1, the PS5. 2, he got to choose the type and model. And he chose them all right. Skittles doesn't smile often, but when he does, you're bombarded with red, yellow, and blue brackets. How's this for a business card, Mom? Vamp is alarmed by the sudden melancholy in our friend. He looks at me with eyes that warn to pop out of his skull.
Am I wrong?
Speaking of teeth, in my humble opinion, if any acquaintance of mine would need braces, it's Vamp. Vamp's former nickname was Horsemouth. All three of us have been bullied in one form or another throughout middle school, but Vamp has had it the worst. Before his dad remarried, he and Vamp used to live in a shitty apartment on the bad side of town. They got by fine, but Vamp was the awkward kid with the ugly mug who was too skinny for his height and would walk too fast through the underground walkway on his way home.
The underground passage was where the rowdy kids were hanging out after school, postponing having to go back to their broken homes for as long as possible. Vamp went home with a swollen eye and a busted lip one too many times before his dad signed him up for boxing classes. A month or so after he picked up boxing, Vamp developed an obsession with Mike Tyson. Another month after that, one of the kids who patronaged the underground walkway called after him. Vamp didn't hear the full extent of it, but he did hear the guy call him Horsemouth. If that didn't make Vamp see red, the guy's buddies erupting into laughter sure did. Vamp launched at the dude who called after him. The guy tried throwing him off, but thanks to boxing, Vamp saw it coming and used the guy's extended arm against him. Once he was close enough to bite, Vamp went for his ear, to do Mike Tyson proud. Unfortunately, he missed and chomped on the dude's neck. Not bad enough to rip it off, but hard enough to draw blood. Nobody has called him Horsemouth since. If anybody asked me, I wouldn't say Vamp was a better nickname, but Vamp likes it, so who am I to judge? You're not wrong, Vamp, but I'm still missing the point about these glasses, I admit. Me, they call Newt, short for Newton. There's no story attached to my label. My friends just call me that because I'm smart, and because I said no to being called Einstein. Skittles hands me the specs. They look like the frumpy red and blue 3D glasses you get at the cinema, except the lenses are round, not rectangular, and the colors are green and purple instead of red and blue. I put them on to see what the big fuss is about. The quality is awful. The left ear hoop settles lower than the right one, and unlike the 3D cinema glasses that paint your worldview in blue, red, and their love child purple, these glasses don't do shit. If anything, they make everything foggy. It's like looking through cellophane. The editorial team partnered up with the development department at the Ocular Health Institute. They designed lenses that mimic the photoreceptors of mantis shrimp. I look at Vamp and the Slayer shirt he's wearing. I look at the beanbags behind him and the cushion tassels peeking out from under his left butt cheek. I look at Skittles and the collection of comics and old encyclopedias behind him. Smile, I order. Skittles does so, and the insanity of his braces is the same as ever. I don't see anything out of the ordinary. Neither can I, see? Vamp throws his palms on the open magazine. Even Newt thinks it's a scam. I bend over the publication. It's open at the double-paged feature explaining the glasses and their revolutionary system. I snort, and Skittles looks very hurt. Hold on a second, I never said that. Maybe these glasses do make us see the world through the eyes of a mantis shrimp. We can't know for sure. It'd be cool if we could test them out in their environment. Skittles straightens his back and gives Vamp his best shit-eating grin. Vamp shrugs. However, Vamp's anecdote is accurate. Even if the color receptor is there, it doesn't mean that our brains will decode something beyond their biology. You think I don't know that? I flinch, and so does Vamp. Both of us have witnessed Skittles raising his voice before, but never at me. You guys are explaining this to me like I'm stupid. I'm not stupid, okay? I know colors. I know that if I were a bee or a butterfly or a certain type of bird or fish, I'd see stuff in this room you two couldn't even imagine. I know colors. I know how they work. Skittles takes off his eyeglasses and extends an open palm to me. I take the plastic specs off my face and hand them to him. I like this magazine. You guys know I do. I would have bought it regardless of the glasses, overpriced issue or not. Skittles puts the mantis shrimp specs on and looks around the treehouse. It's not wishful thinking. There's something. His eyes dart from our posters of the solar system to the forgotten badminton set I brought last week. It's like... Skittles settles his line of sight on me. He takes the specs off and holds them several inches away from his face. He then raises his other hand with his normal glasses and inspects me through clear lenses and films of green and purple interchangeably. His eyes dart from one pair of glasses to the other in search of a difference worth pointing out. Last summer, when Dad and I cleaned out the garage, we found this old TV that belonged to my great uncle. Small screen, bulky back, antlers, you know the type. We turned it on and moved the antenna around to see if it still works. At first, I thought it was pointless. There was this buzzing sound and black and white dots moving everywhere. But it's like the more the TV stayed on... Skittles looks me in the eye through artificial mantis shrimp orbs. The clearer the picture became. Vamp ogles our friend. Can you see anything? Yeah, but the colors are jumbled up. I see green where they're supposed to be yellow. I see purple where they're supposed to be blue. And I see yellow where they're supposed to be... Skittles swaps the mantis shrimp glasses for his corrective lenses again. Nothing. Vamp gasps like he's about to jump out of his skin. You see yellow. The question is so deadpan that I burst out laughing. Skittles isn't immune either. He bends at the waist and shows his braces in all their colorful glory. Vamp can't tell why we're laughing, but he joins us and we shake the treehouse like a bunch of idiots who heard the best joke ever. There are tears in our eyes. Glorious. No, you dumbass! Skittles coughs the remnants of his laughter out of his windpipe. It's just, I don't know, it's an amalgamation of green and yellow and purple. It's just different. Grellurple, says Vamp. Huh? The color you're seeing, green and yellow and purple. Grellurple. The stunned silence only lasts a second before all three of us succumb to laughter again. Skittles wipes his eyes with his shirt and Vamp throws his head back so far he loses balance and falls on the beanbags, which only makes us laugh more. My phone interrupts the party. It's Dad. Hey, Dad. I stop laughing. I have to get home ASAP. Daphne is not home yet, and nobody has seen her since last night. The last time the house was this full, Mom and Dad's extended families decided to pay us a surprise visit on the same weekend. The sleeping arrangements had been a pain, but other than that, it was a merrier time than our last three Christmases combined. This full house? Let's just say I'd rather sleep in the treehouse, eating Skittles garden cushions for dinner. I'm almost tackled to the ground as soon as I set foot on our property. A cop asks to see Bianca's post from the previous evening and writes down everything I know about it. Bianca didn't post any other photos from the party, but she edited the caption on the one she took with Mandy and my sister. Where are you, hun? #FindDaphne. Turns out there had been more than 30 of my sister's peers at the party. The parents of the birthday girl had their own little get-together in the backyard, which meant that they kept an eye on the kids without actually keeping an eye on the kids. I fail to see how this is problematic parenting, but since a child went missing under their watch, anonymous calls to Child Protective Services are a-brewin'. The birthday girl's house has two stories. Daphne was last seen going to the restroom on the first floor. She was spotted by two of her classmates who were making out against the bathroom door. After Daphne shooed them aside, they sought privacy in the dark, empty bedroom at the end of the hall. Once inside, they closed and locked the door, and whatever happened to my sister after she did her business was anyone's guess. Unless she flushed herself down the toilet, she must have left the restroom and exited the house shortly after. No partygoer took note of her whereabouts beyond that point. It was only when Daphne's favorite song started to play that people noticed her absence. My sister and the birthday girl share similar tastes in music, so when the host climbed on her living room table demanding Daphne join her, people began to look around and ask questions. Daphne was nowhere in sight, but that didn't raise any alarms yet. The birthday girl danced on the table alone. As for Daphne, she was probably fooling around with Derek somewhere. To my relief, the question swirling around in my head was asked by someone else, the host's mother to be exact. What about her boyfriend? Doesn't he know where she is? Mom and Dad almost fell off their ankles when they found out Daphne has a boyfriend. I wish Daphne was here to witness their reaction and suffer the juicy consequences. Unfortunately, it looks like we'll have to miss out on family drama in favor of family tragedy. How unfortunate. Speaking of misfortune, the boyfriend has an alibi for the time he went missing. Not long after Bianca took the picture, Derek left the party to go meet his cousin. He asked my sister if she wanted to join him, but she said no. Allegedly. Mandy and another classmate witnessed this discussion and confirmed that Daphne wanted to stay and party. Regardless, the lovebirds disappeared around the same time, so people figured Daphne must have changed her mind. Dad knows a guy down at the police station, and from the bits and pieces I'm gathering from the constant phone calls, they've been interrogating Derek for 3 hours now. As it turns out, he's compliant, and his alibi is solid. He and his cousin stopped at a gas station before going to his cousin's place. The cousin's parents were home and confirmed their time of arrival. The gas station's video surveillance system is broken, but the clerk remembers selling the two boys snacks, soft drinks, and the latest issue of some tattoo magazine. Derek said he has nothing to hide. He also stated that the police are wasting precious time questioning him instead of looking for his girlfriend. He didn't make friends down at the station, but the police don't have a real reason to keep him overnight. I withdraw to my room. There's too much going on, and there's nothing I can help with. I wonder why the hell Dad asked me to come home in the first place. I'm smart, not a psychic. The details I provided in regards to Bianca's photo could have easily been offered by either her parents or Bianca herself. I wonder if anyone would notice if I sneak out and go back to the treehouse. They might. Going back is probably a bad idea. I drop on my bed like a crucified Jesus and stare at the ceiling for a solid minute. This Saturday started off great, but things are not looking good. And they continue to not look good on Sunday. Sunday afternoon, Dad tells me I'll be staying with my grandma for a while. Also, I don't have to go to school next week. The sentence was supposed to go in a different direction. Dad caught himself and said, "Next week," instead of, "until your sister comes home." I'm guessing he's not implying that I'm never going to school again in case Daphne disappeared forever. No one is ready to consider that scenario. Regardless, it's a sweet deal. Grandma lets me eat whatever I want, and that awesome attic of hers still hasn't been cleaned and sorted through since Grandpa died. Grandpa kept a ton of old books, and I never got a chance to finish the second volume of The Brothers Karamazov. Sign me up for chilling in Pop's Lazy Boy for a week. Or more. Who knows? Monday comes and goes. So does Tuesday. By the time Wednesday rolls around, I find a funny passage in Don Quixote that reminds me of something Vamp said last summer. I don't have enough data to send him a picture of the phrase, and Grandma's cooking, although delicious, doesn't make up for her lack of internet anymore. On Thursday, I tell Grandma I want to go home. She tears up.
You miss her, don't you?
I don't respond, and whatever she made of it, it resulted in Dad coming to pick me up. I come home to a catatonic mother and heaps of plastic containers of other people's cooking. Said people keep stopping by to offer support, food, and even cleaning services. Since Mom, now a shell of a person, says nothing, I wonder if I should get angry on her behalf and tell everyone they should mind their own business. Maybe it's me who should mind his own business. I'm not the adult here, and I'm not ready to take on that role. The place could use a little cleanup, but it's not that urgent. Yet. I could ask Granny to come by next week. She'll take care of it. Problem solved. One Tupperware container contains bolognese and another one cinnamon rolls. I take both to my room and don't come out until Friday. Friday morning, Mom and Dad catch me trying to sneak a casserole of some type of oriental salad out of the kitchen. They convince me to join them for breakfast at the dinner table. I do so, but I'm the only one eating. Mom and Dad reminisce about when Daphne was a toddler and would say the darndest things. Mom and Dad laugh and then cry, and before I know it, I'm in the center of a tear-stricken group hug. Note to self, Oriental salads are no breakfast food. I go back to my room and play video games until school is out for my two dorks. The flu is running rampant among the school staff, so Vamp and Skittles only have two classes today. I'm meeting them at the treehouse in 30 minutes. Mom looks ready to nail the door shut to prevent me from going, but Dad reasons with her that I need air, sunshine, and friends. That being said, I'm on my way with a fully charged phone, a Tupperware container full of brownies, and a curfew that will make Vamp and Skittles laugh their butts off. The rope ladder awaits, as does Vamp's helping hand in the doorway. I hand him the container with chocolate and pull myself over the threshold. He skips the greeting.
Did they find anything yet?
I shake my head. Skittles looks at Vamp like a parent ready to scold. Even his inhale sounds offended. Don't say it like that.
Like what?
You should be asking if they found her, not anything. Daphne's a person, not an inanimate object. Skittles looks at me for semiotic approval. I shrug. I take my usual spot by the window, take the lid off the dessert I brought, and help myself before my friends do. How are you holding up? I shrug again, and thankfully, Vamp and Skittles are neither my over-emotional parents nor my nosy neighbors. They're okay with my lack of verbal expression. They don't care whether my shrug means I don't know or I don't want to tell you. Vamp takes a brownie, as does Skittles. Watching Vamp eat is grossly fascinating. If it weren't for his teeth, I'd suggest Anaconda as a nickname. It's only when he moves in for more brownies that I notice what Skittles is doing. What? Skittles asks. He has the Tupperware lid on his lap and peels a brownie over it. The occasional knock of a walnut against the plastic explains the weird picture. It's because of the braces. Shut up. Neither of us said anything. Me, because I know. Vamp, because his mouth is full. Not for long, though.
That's such a waste, dude.
And swallowing the stuff whole isn't. I sometimes wonder if my friends would still be friends if it weren't for me.
At least I'm eating all of it, says Vamp in self-defense.
You call that eating? Our vacuum cleaner has more table manners than you.
Yeah, well, you could learn something from that vacuum cleaner. What you're doing is sacrilegious.
Oh yeah? Let's ask the baker. Who's eating your brownies better, the boy or the orca?
Guys!
They stop and look at me. Nobody gives a fuck. Just eat however you want. My friends remember why we even have brownies in the first place. They bow their heads and resume eating in silence. Vamp slows down and Skittles takes out the nuts with his nails to minimize the damage. I usually enjoy the rare occasions on which they're quiet, but this quiet is more annoying than their stupid bickering about things that don't matter. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to snap. It's just... Should have stopped at I'm sorry. I'm usually great with words as long as they're in my native language. Reason, feelings, and emotions are languages so foreign to me you'll sooner find me mastering Arabic. I don't know how to finish the sentence, and it's a blow to my pride. The fingers on my shoulder are so careful they can only belong to Skittles. Newt, if you want to talk, we're here for you, both of us. I look at Vamp in hopes that he'll make some mocking gesture we can use in laughing Skittles off of me. He doesn't. He even stopped chewing to nod. Great. Why does everyone keep saying that? I stand up. What is talking good for? Talk, talk, talk. Everybody just wants to talk, and it's so pointless. You're just regurgitating hopelessness. And for what? You're not unloading the burden. You're just piling it on and on and on. My vision turns blurry. I rub my eyes so hard, my contacts get close and personal with my frontal cortex. I don't want to talk. I just want her to come home already. Guess I'm bilingual now. I don't have time to yell that what they're doing is extremely dangerous and stupid. If the treehouse tips and we fall to our deaths, our parents will have some very awkward explaining to do at our funerals. Nevertheless, my friends take the risk. As I find myself hugged by my best friends for the 1,000th time today, I think about Daphne. Girls hug more often than guys do. It's a girl thing. Guys fist bump or pat on the back or do a handshake or something. Males are pragmatic creatures. If the context is neither sexual nor combative, what the hell do we need to get this physical for? Nevertheless, as soon as Vamp and Skittles let me go, I realize that I hate my brain. If the damn thing would have shut up sooner, I could have enjoyed the comfort provided by my caring friends like a normal human being. Ah, crud. Skittles takes the 3D glasses lookalikes out of the chest pocket of his shirt. The left ear hook is even more crooked than it was the week before. Note to self, things that might break your specs. Concrete floors, fists to the nose, hugging your friends. He laughs at his joke. Vamp chortles. You still carry those around? Skittles puts the glasses back in his pocket. Just because they don't work on you doesn't mean they don't work at all. Oh yeah? Tell me how they work on you then. Skittles hesitates for a second. They make me see stuff. I join in. What stuff? Like I'm telling you guys. You don't believe me anyway. Wait, I forgot, says Vamp. You see green, yellow, and purple. Sorry to break it to you, buddy, but our ancestors beat you to the discovery of colors. The effect Vamp's coarseness has on Skittles is a thing of beauty. Oh, no! Vamp continues, and his eyes go wide. You're not trying to impress Jenny Whittaker, are you? I'm confused. Skittles has had a crush on Jenny for ages, but that doesn't explain the correlation. What's Jenny have to do with this? I ask. Ha! Vamp looks like he's about to explode into confetti. Skittles looks mortified. Vamp, don't! Vamp throws his head back and laughs like he just heard the joke of the century. He then turns to me. Miss Grit paired him with Jenny for the science project this week. They're... Shut up! Doing a presentation on Darkons, and Skittles thinks he can impress Jenny with his color obsession. It's not an obsession. Oh, I know. You guys should meet here to work on the project. Newt, can you imagine? Jenny and Skits sitting in the tree. K-I-S-S-I-N-G. Stop! I don't know what's funnier. Vamp singing like he swallowed helium, or Skittles blowing a fuse. First comes love, then comes marriage. Dude, I swear, if you don't stop, then comes Skittles with his dumbass glasses. I can't. I tried to be mindful of Skittles' breakdown, but as soon as Vamp delivers the punchline, I laugh so hard that my ribs hurt. Vamp joins me. Skittles doesn't. Vamp and I laugh like the world doesn't have missing sisters in it, and we're making wonderful memories like all kids our age should. I wipe the tears out of my eyes to see Skittles not being the least bit amused. He waits patiently until Vamp and I calm down. Come on, man. Vamp dabs his eyes with his shirt. You're not upset, are you? To answer his question, Skittles turns around and exits the treehouse. Ah, crap, I conclude. Oh, come on, don't be like that. Vamp joins me. Skittles doesn't utter a word as he descends the rope ladder. Vamp and I yell apologies and accusations of oversensitivity in hopes that our friend returns. He doesn't. What he does do is way cooler. When Skittle's feet touch the ground, he walks 5 yards in a direction that does not lead to his house. Vamp and I are confused, and when we're about to ask where he's going, Skittles looks up and beats us to the punch. You losers coming to see what I'm talking about or what? We follow Skittles to the town's second largest supermarket. As soon as we step onto the parking lot, all three of us walk with our faces turned away from the shop's front entrance. The people in this town don't like it when kids use this shortcut to go into the woods. If anyone recognizes us, our parents will be informed within minutes. The train tracks are to blame. The worry stemmed from a tragedy that happened in 98. A drunk dad and his 7-year-old daughter tried to cross over the train tracks and an oncoming train killed them both. What can I say? Small town folk like to hide fathers taking their children into the woods in the middle of the night under smaller tragedies, such as death. We reach the back of the parking lot, where the black concrete ends in a row of gray bricks. The soil that stretches beyond hasn't been mowed in months. There is the odd pine tree here and there, and each of us chooses a tree to hide behind while traversing the barricade. I use the term barricade loosely, because the thing that marks the border of the premises is a solitary iron bar elevated at crotch height with the help of other iron bars. Vamp and Skittles jump over the bar. I crawl under it. Our sneakers roll up some dirt as we glide in the shallow ditch leading to the train tracks. Once the train tracks are behind us, we go downhill and proceed through the meadow spread before the woods. It's a beautiful day. We spot several couples and families having picnics, and further away, a bunch of guys playing soccer. Nobody pays us any mind. Once we're surrounded by trees, Skittles breaks the silence. I didn't want to say anything about it until I was sure. I wanted to double check before telling you guys. Skits, Vamp interferes. No offense, but last year you thought the ghost of your great aunt was creeping in your laundry. Dude, I swear there was the shadow of a person that was not there. Yeah, it was the shadow of your mom's disappointment that she can't even put tidy whities out to dry without you freaking out. I laugh, and Vamp looks proud. Skittles throws his hands in the air and lets them fall to his sides. Okay, look. He stops all of a sudden and takes the mantis shrimp specks out of his pocket. Skittles holds the glasses as if they're a burning torch. If I didn't know any better, I'd say my friend is channeling his inner Mel Gibson to pull off a bootleg Braveheart poster. I have a wild fantasy. I do. And I take full responsibility for what I do with it and what it does to me, all right? But just because I'm the future J.R.R. Tolkien doesn't mean my eyesight's bad. I can feel the retort bubbling in Vamp's chest. I jump in before he can attack our friend's confidence, or worse, his glasses. I believe you. Skittles and Vamp react at the same time. What? Jinx. I believe you, Skits, really. I can't know if something was really there or if your mind was playing tricks on you, but I don't think you'd lie to us. So, if you say you saw something, you saw something. I believe you. Skittles looks like he doesn't know what to do with his hands. Vamp is unusually quiet. I resume walking, and my friends do the same. Tell me, I say, why are we here? What did you see? Skittles chews on his bottom lip. A dead owl. I feel one eyebrow raised dangerously close to my hairline. You saw a dead owl? Like, through the glasses? No, I mean, yes, but... why is this so hard to explain? Take your time. We march on while Skittles rummages through his memories and vocabulary. Behind us, a train passes through and we can barely hear it over the chirping birds and the twigs snapping beneath our feet. I could see the dead owl both with and without the mantis glasses, but the thing is, I wouldn't have found it without the glasses. I mean... I was walking like we are now, and at some point... Skittles takes off his corrective lenses and puts on the plastic specs. At some point, I started seeing blotches of that... stuff. What stuff? Asks Vamp. You know, that weird color I told you about, Grelurple? There were patches of it here and there, and I followed them. The patches were getting bigger and bigger, and before I knew it, there was this big puddle of Grelurple on the ground. And when I removed the glasses, bam, there was this dead owl. Vamp is hooked.
So the Grelurple stuff is blood?
No. Skittles himself looks surprised by the fact. That's the weird part. There was no visible injury on the owl. No weird substance, no rock or branch it laid under, nothing that would explain the Grelurple. It was just dead.
So let me get this straight. You see spots of the stuff everywhere? I ask.
Skittles looks around. Well, I wouldn't say everywhere. I see them a lot less in school or at my house. The only places I see them a lot in is here and...
Skittles stops mid-sentence. He bites his lip. And where? Where else?
He turns to look at me over the plastic frame of his new favorite toy. We stare at each other. There's something Skittles is not telling me, and I hate it when people hide things from me.
The treehouse? I suggest.
Skittles breaks our eye contact and pushes the glasses higher up his nose.
Yeah, the treehouse. Huh, the treehouse?
Vamp scares off every life form in a 10-yard radius, except for Skittles and myself, of course. Skittles lets out an irritated groan.
Yes, Vamp, the treehouse. But I looked around with the glasses, too. I didn't see anything up there.
I know. That's why I brought you guys here. If there's any chance for you guys to see the Grelurple, I'll have to find a big puddle again.
You don't think you'll find the owl again, do you?
Of course not. It's been 2 weeks. But maybe we can find Grelurple on something else, or somewhere else. I don't know. I just want to prove to you that I'm not crazy.
I don't think you're crazy, I interfere.
Skittles looks at me. I smile at him, and he looks away. Vamp chuckles.
Well, I do. Hella crazy. Which is great, because you wouldn't be my friend otherwise.
Vamp throws an arm around Skittles, and the latter laughs the tension out of his shoulders. His laughter ceases with a gasp.
There!
Skittles deviates from our path to run sideways to a longleaf pine. He then crouches down to the patch of moss at the foot of it.
Whoa, this one's big. It's the size of a tennis ball.
Vamp joins him and bends over to see what Skittles is looking at. He opens his mouth, no doubt to ask for the specs, but Skittles jumps to his feet again and runs even further to a white spruce.
Whoa, this one's even bigger. And there's another one over there, too.
I try to keep up with my friends, but the gravitational pull is too great for me.
Guys, slow down!
Vamp stops to look behind himself every so often to make sure I don't lose sight of them. Skittles, on the other hand, is too excited to regard us with patience. I can hear running water. A mountain river that turns into an angry stream whenever it rains separates the welcoming part of the forest from the rest of it, the unhinged side of it, where nature is king and human interference is frowned upon. The other side of the woods is halfway safe only to hunters and hikers that carry bear mace and experience in the wilderness. At least, that's what our parents say. The water is docile today. The flow is in a hurry, but its width and depth don't look like much of a challenge. The ditch the river created for itself is almost 20 feet deep and adorned on both sides with rocks and tree roots.
No way!
Skittles stops at the lip of the riverbank. Vamp joins him not long after.
There! Can you see it?
Skittles hands the mantis shrimp glasses to Vamp and points at a large rock peeking out of the water. Vamp places the specs on his face and follows the axis of our friend's finger.
See what? Right there, in the water, on that big stone right there. It's got Grelurple all over it. Can you see it?
Vamp takes the specs off to look at the stone with the naked eye, and then puts them on again. Once I reach them, he hands the glasses to me without saying anything. I, too, put them on and take them off repeatedly. I go to stand next to Skittles to make sure I'm looking at the right stone. I ask my question in between heavy breaths.
Yes, right over there. And look, on the other side of the ditch is more of it. It's like a big splash and two little ones. Can you really not see them?
I'm trying my hardest to see something.
No. Wait, let me see again.
I hand the specs back to Vamp.
Skits, you must have X-ray vision or something, because I can't see shit.
Gimme those.
Skittles sounds exasperated. He is the biggest scaredy cat out of all of us, and yet, as soon as Vamp hands him his frumpy glasses back, Skittles descends to the water. Vamp and I are too stunned to shout after him to come back. We watch Skittles jump on the stone he pointed at earlier, and with another leap, he's on the other side of the stream. I miss Grandma's attic. Skittles looks up and waves us over.
Come on!
Vamp doesn't need to be told twice. His eyes sparkle with the promise of adventure, and he follows Skittles across the liquid border, despite me beckoning for their return.
It's fine. Nothing's gonna happen,
Vamp reassures me. He reaches the opposite brink of the riverbank in tandem with Skittles. Both of them look at me with glowing faces. I want to punch their noses in. Vamp makes a funnel with his hands around his mouth.
Come on, Newt! You're the one who wanted to check it out, right?
Right. I'm embarrassed to say that I crossed the water in twice the time my friends did. I blame my weight for it, not my fear of adult repercussions. Or worse, unhinged fauna.
Lead the way!
Vamp looks only too happy to go further into the woods. I look behind us, as well as left, right, and diagonally, to make sure no imminent danger looms near. Skittles' bravado from before seems to have evaporated.
I can't see anything anymore.
I like the sound of that, but I can't say it aloud. Despite knowing that we're not supposed to be here, this part of the woods is not much different from the one we left behind. Granted, the grass is a lot taller and no footpath is leading the way, but other than that, same trees, same temperature, same forest language coming at us from all the beings we're bothering. I'm nervous, but there's an undeniable rush of excitement running through my bones. If being here doesn't make us cool, then actually finding something with the shrimp specs definitely will. I'm not that naive to think we're the only kids who ever came to explore this side of the forest, but objectively speaking, we're not the type you'd expect this from. Except Vamp, although I'm sure he wouldn't come here alone.
Whoa, what's that?
I want to shush Vamp to remind him of the range of his voice and our surroundings. He deviates from our general direction sooner than I can react. There's a young sugar pine further to our right, and Vamp runs towards it like it called him home for supper. I give the sugar pine a squint to spot what had gotten my friend so excited. Vamp hoists himself up the tree, and I scan my vocabulary to yell at him with less harsh synonyms for the word stupid. No matches were found, and I can see what caught Vamp's attention. Something pink is hanging from one of the lower branches. Vamp reaches for the branch and shakes it as hard as he can to make the pink thing fall to the ground. What is it? An empty candy bag? A lost flag from the Girl Scouts? A poster that flew in this neck of the woods by an overly ambitious gust of wind? I wish it were, but no, it's nothing of the sort. I know what it is. I've seen that very same piece of fabric too many times in our laundry basket to mistake it for anything else. My uncle Ned is a farmer. We spent countless vacations at his farm, and although Daphne and I hid whenever he put animals down, we still caught the worst of their screams. I heard pigs, goats, rabbits, and numerous other animals die. However, take all those blood-curdling screeches, merge them into one, and you still wouldn't be anywhere near the sound that comes out of Skittles. Vamp and I run to him. Skittles falls on his butt and pushes the ground away with his sneakers to put immediate distance between himself and the object of his horror. He pants and moans like he just crawled out of hell. The mantis shrimp lenses hang to his chin.
Don't look!
It's me he's talking to. That's when I know. I knew the second I saw the pink underwear hanging from the tree. I know what he found. I know. And yet, I don't listen. I look. From my vantage point, I can only see a foot. Something chewed three toes off, but it's undeniably a human foot. The ground looks like a cave beneath the foot, so the person either found their bitter end in a ditch, or someone tried hiding them in the soil and failed miserably. I step closer to reveal to my heart what my brain already knows. There's a thin layer of dirt covering the body, remnants from the shallow grave. The spaghetti-strapped summer dress is ripped from cleavage to knees, and you can barely tell where the cotton ends and where the skin begins. The skin is every color, ranging from blue to black, painting a picture of assault so clear that not even the crusted blood on her legs makes it more obvious. It's not the blood that gets me, neither the fact that her torso is bare and the biggest bruise, going all the way from her breast to her stomach, is in the form of a baseball bat, nor that there's so much dirt and dried blood in her hair you can't even tell she was blonde anymore. The state of decay, patches of rotting skin, and the god-awful stench come pretty close to being the worst thing, but they're not. It's the vibrating cavities. Nothing screams death like the life it leaves in its wake. Bugs and larvae squirm within the open mouth and in the holes where blue eyes had once been. I can't breathe. I bend over and digest brownies in reverse. We found Daphne.
I don't have cell reception.
I've never heard Vamp sound so mature. He tries to keep his composure, but he's yellow in the face, and his hands shake so hard he looks like he's having an attack of some sort.
You guys should go ask for help. I'll wait here, with her.
Vamp's body cringed visibly at the offer that came out of his mouth. Go ask for help? Who's going to help? There's a minimum of 50 species of multiple-legged, egg-bearing parasites within my sister, doing the job people usually pay funeral homes to do. Who's going to help? How does one go about helping a corpse in this state? Is hoovering allowed? Or would that damage evidence? The bugs should be collected, just like the blood samples and the DNA traces on her clothes and body, no? But that's not going to help my sister, is it? Because my sister is in the only place help can't reach. No. The only helpful thing to do is to find whoever did this and make sure they never, ever do it again. I launch back to where we came from.
Newt?
Go with him, Skits.
Give me my glasses. Hurry. Newt, wait up.
My ears are ringing. Skittles is calling after me, but I can't hear him over the noise in my head. If there's a hell in the center of the earth, it can hear me running. I reach the riverbank and slide on the steep incline toward the water. My leg slips on the rock we used as a stepping stone before, and I land knee-deep into the stream. I push through until I'm on dry land again and start climbing out of the ditch.
Newt!
I look behind me and spot Skittles. He looks terrified. Those damn plastic specks are still hanging to his chin.
You're going the wrong way!
Wrong. I'm going the right way. I'm going the only way. I face forward and keep going.
Newt!
I reach the top of the incline and start running again.
Lucas, don't do it! We don't know it was him!
Skittles. Scrawny, frail, weird, and overprotected Skittles. I sometimes forget how smart he is. But then he reminds me,
reminds me of how smart I was the day I decided to make him my friend. Birds of a feather, some might say. It's not. It's strategy. Vamp didn't notice. To be honest, I thought nobody who knew my sister, nobody but me, would notice either. But I was wrong. Skittles noticed. Skittles noticed that the ruby earrings my sister had from our grandmother were still ornating her dead earlobes, whereas the bead chain with the silver firefly was missing. Derek had given her that necklace on their first date. Branches graze my face, and the physical effort burns my lungs. I scare off a bunch of rabbits by stomping on Hell's ceiling, but other than that, the forest is silent. Flora and fauna, both dead and alive, keep to themselves as I run and run and run until I reach the meadow. My weight be damned, I fly over the train tracks and jump over the iron rail straight into the supermarket's parking lot. Curious shoppers, both entering and exiting, stop to try and make sense of what I'm doing in the state I'm in. I'm off the property before anyone has the chance to ask what's wrong. Everything's wrong, but I'm about to fix it. All I see is the concrete beneath my shoes, and all I hear is the blood coursing through my innards. On the other side of my tunnel vision, I run a red light, cut the path of a middle-aged couple walking their dog, and get an earful from a vendor whose stack of apples I ruin. But then I see it. Purple roof, orange building. Daphne's High School. The bell must have gone off some time ago because students are spilling out of the establishment in large numbers. I'm dreading that I missed him. I didn't. A fucker is simply more difficult to spot without the dumb grin and his left arm around Daphne's shoulders. He's typing something on his phone as he's walking down the wheelchair ramp. Some of his peers try to interject, but he only looks up when my hand meets his collar. His lips pucker around my name, but I don't give him the chance to speak it. I couldn't have done this if you weren't as tall as he is, but his height works against him for once, because the handrail is right below his buttocks, and it gives me more leverage to push the better half of his bulk over it. Derek falls over the rail. People are screaming and recording our fight on their phones. Nobody is helping him. Why would they? The little brother of Derek's missing girlfriend just pounced on him on a Friday after school. People will need the full story to survive the weekend. Why did you do it? Why did you do it? I climb on top of him to immobilize him before he comes to his senses. He might not have eaten for several days, and his skull and ribs could be rattled from the fall, but he's still stronger than me. What? Derek tries. Talk, you fucker! Why did you do it? How? My throat is raw, and my voice sounds like I'm drowning. I know I'm crying because of the wetness on my face, but my eyes don't sting, and I couldn't see clearer. Derek tries to push me off of him, and I fight against his efforts with every ounce of strength I have. I hear teachers shouting over the commotion around us. Lucas, get off of me! No, tell me why! Get the fuck off, you little shit! Not until you tell everybody what you did and why you did it! I don't know what you're talking about! Bullshit! Get off! You're hurting me! I wrap my hands around his throat and squeeze until the tips of my fingers touch. It clicks. Derek smacks me square in the nose. What on God's green earth are you two doing? Mr. Clifford, Derek's baseball coach, grabs me by the arm and hoists me vertically. Two of Derek's classmates remember they're his friends and go assist him off the ground. People get in between Derek and I. Questions everywhere. Someone's shaking me and screaming in my face, but I can't hear a thing. My innards are buzzing. I feel like I'm the black and white spots in Skittles' old TV. I'm trying to get a signal. I'm trying to paint a picture and transmit it to the world. How the hell I managed to pull this off
is beyond me.
We found her.
The sound of my voice feels 1 decibel below the hearing range of humans. People I don't know call me by my name and ask me to repeat what I just said. I don't need to. Skittles just entered the schoolyard.
Lucas!
His shirt is dirty and his pants are ruined. There are scratches all over his arms, but the worst thing about him is the look on his face.
We found her, he says. Lucas's sister, Daphne Cherrywood. We found her body in the woods.
Mom, Dad, and I stand at the entrance to the auditorium where we're having the funeral reception. Everybody coming through the doors gives us hugs, handshakes, and compliments on the funeral. Compliments. Actual compliments. On the funeral. First, it was the Dills, then the Johnson Smiths, and now the Kirkbeans. And I'm thinking, is there such a thing as a nice funeral? The weather is nice. The floral arrangements are nice. The reading of the eulogy, which turned into a musical performance by the church choir, was nice. The fact that not only every single one of Daphne's current classmates showed up, but also all of her teachers, both current and from middle school, is nice. Is this what makes a funeral nice? Is the mold forming in a glass of jam a nice flower? Is the crack in the window a nice ventilation system? Is sticking my sister 6 feet in the dirt a nice funeral? It's funny how people pick and choose when the context does or does not matter. I shift my body weight and Mom grabs my arm instantly.
You're not going anywhere.
I wasn't trying to, but I'm starting to reconsider. Ever since we found Daphne, Mom's been treating me like she's blind and I'm her guide dog, which wouldn't be so bad if it weren't for the whisper shouting and the dooming aura. My attempt at retaking ownership of my limb fails. I need air, Mom.
And you think I don't?
Pretty sure she doesn't understand what I mean, but try explaining your frustrations to a person who made it her life goal to one-up everybody in the suffering department. I pity my father. The Dutchinsons are here. Dad offers handshakes, Mother welcomes hugs, and my shoulder bears the squeeze of a former MMA fighter. 2 former MMA fighters. Wouldn't want to be in their house when they argue. But the Dutchinsons are good people. They're sorry for our loss. The funeral was very nice. Mom, I just need a little air, please.
Lucas, I swear.
Sam. Mom hasn't slept for the past 5 days, but Dad looks like he hasn't slept his entire life. He doesn't need to continue his sentence. Mom can suddenly see again. And I'm no longer a dog. It's a miracle. Be back in 10, yeah? We'd like to start, and we need you here.
Of course, Dad.
On any other day, I'd consider the property beautiful. The porch is completely white, from the wooden flooring to the roof tiles. Strings of red and pink flowers spiral around the columns and each baluster in the handrails. The steps descend into the garden on a tiled labyrinthine path. Some of Daphne's classmates found sanctuary by a chestnut oak, where they smoke and catch up on things that have nothing to do with dead people. They chat and laugh, and as soon as they see me approaching, they immediately extinguish their cigarettes and hurry to the reception. Who knew I have authoritative power? I'll keep that in mind if I decide to become a teacher. Thankfully, the people I'm walking towards don't run away as soon as they see me. Hey, Newt. I never thought there'd be a day in which I'd consider Vamp halfway handsome. I give a low whistle. You clean up nicely. Vamp gives me a half smile, opens his arms, and encases me with them. I received hugs from tens of people in the past 2 weeks, and I have no clue if any of them came from the heart. This one does.
this one matters. I'm smarter now than I've been the other week when we hugged in the treehouse, so I'm hugging my friend with all my might, and then some. I extend my left arm to invite Skittles in. He smiles through his tear-stricken face, and we group hug just enough for me to replenish the much-needed energy I'll need for that stupid reception.
"It's a dumb question, but how are you holding up?"
Vamp asks.
"It's dumb indeed, but I'd expect nothing less from you," I tell him.
Vamp gives me a playful punch in the shoulder, and Skittles chuckles despite the mood.
"I don't know what to tell you. I feel like I'm in a moving train made of glass. I sit still and watch the world pass me by, when in fact, the world sits still and I'm the one moving. It's very weird."
Vamp looks down.
"I can't imagine what you're going through. I think my brother's a little shit, but the mere thought of something ever happening to him... I just hope that bastard gets what he deserves."
"He will, Vamp," I say. "I'm sure he will."
Derek. The news of me jumping the guy spread like wildfire.
Once Skittles informed the schoolyard that we found Daphne, the teachers demanded all students head home immediately. We confirmed with the police that she had been found... dead. And as soon as we guided them to her remains, an officer turned away to make an urgent call. Not even 10 minutes later, Derek, Daphne's boyfriend, was removed from his home by two officers who, despite each having at least 70 pounds on him, had trouble dealing with the raging teen. The police knocked on Derek's door just as he was about to flush something shiny down the toilet. That something was Daphne's silver necklace with the firefly pendant. Allegedly, the thing still had traces of blood around the clasp.
"Can you believe it? All this time, after what he did, the sick fucker had the gall to wear that thing around his neck, like a trophy or something."
Vamp runs his hand down his face. Skittles frowns.
"We don't know he was wearing it, do we?"
"That's what the police say," I clarify. "They found traces of Daphne's DNA and fibers from Derek's shirt on the thing."
"Yeah, but..."
Vamp and I watch Skittles struggle for words. He abandons his sentence once he feels our eyes on him, but Vamp is not as forgiving as me.
"But what, Skits?"
Skittles hesitates for a moment.
"We don't know he wore it. I mean, necklaces slip over shirts. Somebody would have seen it."
"Oh, please. Like, necklaces aren't easy to overlook. That flashy bastard was always wearing chains and crap."
"Yeah, you're right. I just think it's weird that he'd wear it, is all."
Skittles slides the tip of his Converse between two tiles, and I wish, more than ever, that he'd stop filtering his words and just speak his mind.
"It's not weird to them, though."
Vamp gets heated.
"You see it in documentaries all the time. These sick fuckers collect from their victims all sorts of stuff. Panties, hair. I even saw one about a guy who only went after women with red lipstick on. He'd keep their red lipstick, and if they didn't have it on him, he'd cut off a finger and keep that instead. You never know what these guys are into."
Skittles looks like he wants to say something, but changes his mind at the last second. I step in front of him.
"Go on, Skits. Say what you want to say."
Skittles shakes his head.
"I'm not attacking you. I just want to know why you're playing devil's advocate for my sister's killer."
"I'm not!"
Skittles finally looks me in the eyes and holds my gaze until Vamp feels uncomfortable.
"I just think the case needed more investigation before they sentenced Derek. That's all."
Vamp gives a shrill huff.
"Are you kidding? What's there to investigate? This is not how to get away with murder, Skits. This is straight up in your face real life. Daphne wore a necklace. Daphne disappeared on the night of a party. Daphne's boyfriend was at that party, and he and Daphne left around the same time. Daphne's necklace is found on her boyfriend a week later, and the only alibi the guy has for the night of the party is his junkie cousin and a shady clerk in a gas station with no CCTV. The boyfriend did it. It's obvious. Case closed.
We don't know it was Daphne's necklace.
Vamp inhales to express his outrage at that statement, but my right forefinger silences him. Not once do Skittles and I break eye contact. And what makes you say that, Benjamin? I don't feel like I'm on a glass train anymore. The train stopped and had me put in a microwave.
Derek said the necklace he gifted Daphne had a clasp like a lobster claw.
And?
And?
My mother calls us inside from the white porch. Nobody moves a muscle.
The necklace the police found on Derek had a different clasp, a magnetic one.
Vamp lets out a chuckle void of any amusement.
And I thought I watched too many crime shows.
Vamp shakes his head in disbelief.
I'm disappointed in you, bro. Come on, Newt, let's go inside.
Vamp taps my shoulder and with that steps away from Skittles and I. Skittles blinks first. He lost our stare down, and I want to rub it in his face.
I hear you, and I understand the sentiment, I tell him.
I get my face so close to Skittles our noses touch. I hear him gulp. What I still don't get is why you, my friend, are defending my sister's killer.
Skittles takes the mantis shrimp specks out of the pocket of his dress pants. In the schoolyard, before the teacher sent everybody home, I looked at Derek.
Skittles holds the glasses up.
There was no grulurple on him, except a little bit, around his neck, after you jumped him.
Skittles watches my face for a reaction. I don't have one to give. Vamp reaches my mom and goes inside the auditorium. Mom steps off the porch and calls for us again.
You said you saw grulurple in the treehouse. Where?
My friend's lower lip begins to quiver.
Where, Benjamin?
I hear the clang of Mom's low heels coming down the tiled pathway.
On you?
I smile. I can't help it.
Where on me? Eyes, hands, and...
Skittles can't bring himself to say it, but his eyes dart to my crotch. That's all I need to know. I hold the palm of my hand out to him. He's shaking as he hands me the mantis shrimp glasses. I told you these don't work. I let the glasses drop on the tiles and smash my heel on them over and over and over again.
Lucas?
I turn around to see Mom approaching wearily.
Is everything okay?
Of course, Mom. I sling an arm around Skittles and pull him flush to my side. Right, Benjamin? Skittles is still shaking, but his stupid mouth is finally in sync with his smart brain.
Yes, Mrs. Cherrywood.
Skittles and I follow my mother back to the auditorium. The weather has darkened significantly in the past few minutes, and by the time we reach the white porch, it smells like rain. I take one last look at the far end of the labyrinthine path. The mantis shrimp glasses, two specks, one green, one purple, lay crumpled and broken on the tiles. Once the reception starts, I hear the skies crying over the world outside. Whether heaven bemoans the loss of my sister or the loss of its third eye, I'm not sure. I'm sure of something else, though. This turned out to be a very nice funeral.
You've been listening to Grelurple by Lucretia Vastea.
Lucretia Vastea is an author and artist based out of Germany, whose written works have been adapted to audio by the likes of the Chilling Tales for Dark Nights podcast, the No Sleep podcast, and Otis Gyre's Scary Stories Told in the Dark. And that, my friends, wraps up tonight's broadcast. I'd like to extend my thanks to Lucretia for a great story with a very delightful twist. And, of course, I'd also like to thank you for joining me. As you're going to bed tonight, drifting off to sleep with your eyes closed, maybe pay extra attention to the colors dancing across your eyelids. Maybe one of you will see some Grellurple of your own tonight. As always, I'll be back next week for another episode of Horror Hill. Until then, friends, stay spooky. You've been listening to the Horror Hill podcast, a production of Chilling Entertainment and the creative team at Chilling Tales for Dark Nights. Tonight's episode was hosted and narrated by yours truly, Eric Peabody. Original music provided by Eric Peabody and Nikki McSorley. Finalization by Eric Peabody and Craig Groshek. Got a terrifying tale of your own that you'd like performed? Email it to us at natalie@chillingtalesfordarknights.com to have your work considered for future production. Seeing as how we're all living in a technological nightmare of our own devising, I'll ask you to follow Chilling Tales for Dark Nights on social media and upvote, subscribe, and hit the bell notification icon if you're listening to this on YouTube. Not only will you have appeased the dark gods of cyberspace, but you'll be kept in the loop as we prepare more terrifying content. If you'd like access to uninterrupted horror, free of ads and these annoying bookend segments, might I recommend becoming a patron? You'll get access to hundreds of episodes of this show, as well as everything from the other programs in the Chilling Tales for Dark Nights cabal. That means all of Otis Gyre's Scary Stories Told in the Dark, Drew Blood's Dark Tales, Paul J. McSorley's Fear from the Heartland, and more. It's a veritable smorgasbord of horrific delights. As for me personally, I'm on most social media as Viking Guitar or Viking Guitar Productions. I'm always on the lookout for new stories to narrate and new music projects to mix or master. If that's of interest to you, feel free to reach out and we can talk turkey. Also, I will be back next week with more terrifying tales to keep you up all night. If darkness is what you're after, listener, your search is over. Yet, let it be known, you haven't found the darkness. The darkness has found you.